Just a couple of things before we get started tonight. I just want to say it was a blessing to be over there and working on that tent yesterday. For you men who were there, you know what I'm talking about. It was the neatest thing in the world to see that thing go up, just the way they had it set up for it to go up. That was just the neatest thing in the world to me. But just the atmosphere that was going on there, those men working together, knowing that what they were doing is they were working on a project, and the men that were there could see souls being saved sitting under that tent. It was neat. I mean, we got ready to have lunch, and when one of the men who was actually leading it got up there, so many of the men were up there going, "Hey, all right, is he going to preach now? Is it time for him to preach? Are we fixing to get into it for a little while?" And so it was, I mean, that was the kind of atmosphere it was. We weren't looking to run, eat lunch as much as we were. We were ready to feast on the Word yesterday. So you guys that were there, I thank you. I know they do for the work that you put in there. You'll never have an experience like that again. And for you guys that missed it, too bad. But no, it was, I had an opportunity as a teenager to assist in a very small scale of that kind of tent ministry where Briarwood Baptist Church is now standing. So if you know the size of that church, that started out with a tent and then a trailer and then a double wide and then a small building, and now it's probably one of the largest churches in Oconee County. But I had the opportunity as a teenager to work in that tent ministry for a little while, and that was just a wonderful experience. Now, with that said, we've been talking about that large choir that they're going to have over there. Now, I asked people to come down front if they were interested in that this morning, and most of the people that came down front are our normal choir people, and that was, you know, expected. But, you know, you don't have to sing in Crooked Creek Baptist Church Choir to be a part of that song over there. They're looking to have about 100, 150 voices in that choir over there. And if you say, "Well, you know, I don't know that I can commit to it for the full time." Look, they're looking for people who want to serve God. And I had an opportunity again at a national convention. It was one for Byron Fox, Bible Truth Music, in Memphis. And I got to stand in a choir of about 100 folks singing. And I can tell you, there's nothing that'll touch your heart like listening to those people harmonize and put that music together. And that's what it's going to be like in that tent. So even if you don't sing in the choir here, if you say, "Hey, you know what, I just want to do something for the Lord. I want to go over there. I want to sing. I want to lift up my voice for them," then just let me know, and I'll add you to the numbers. I've got to call them tomorrow and let them know how many people from my church are going to be a part of that choir. So just come to me tonight and say, "Brother Ricky, I think I want to try that too." And we'd be glad to have you. All right, now, I'm one of those internet junkies Matt was talking about this morning. And I love news. Okay? Now, I've never been one to read the paper until I found out I could read it online for free. And so I mean, we always got the Banner Herald at my house when I was young, but I never even looked at it. I might open it up and see who won, you know, in the games on Friday night or something like that. But I never really paid that much attention to it. But now that it's available online, every day I try and find some time to go on there and read and see what's going on in Athens. Now, people laugh at me all the time because the two things that I always look at is the police blotter and the obituaries. Well, that's because, you know, the police blotter is where I find my friends' names a lot of times, and the obituaries is where I find the rest of them. So, but all joking aside, I like to read through it, but I was looking at it a couple of weeks ago, and when I opened up the online version of it, there was an advertisement on the very top. I mean, one of these full-width page advertisements that shows up. And one of the links, you know, you can click on it and go to it. Well, the way that the advertisement read, and I won't go into where it was from or who was involved with it, but the way the advertisement read, I thought, hey, this is some kind of group that is really interested in maybe a revival. Maybe this is something that our church can be involved with and
get to know these people and reach out. And so I clicked on the link to find out what it was. Well, these people were far from those who were looking for revival. Now, they were looking for some reform, I can tell you that. But the way they had advertised it was completely different from what they had. And as I got to looking at it, what they were actually talking about is getting away from the institutionalized form of church. They were pretty much downgrading every church, saying all they're after is your money. Now, what was really interesting is down at the bottom there was a little thing that said to donate, click here. But but they were completely getting away from it. Matter of fact, they went so far as to have a point on their website that you could click on so that you could enroll your pastor or your staff members there so that they could learn more about what the biblical church was supposed to be. Now, I'm sure there's probably some people out here tonight that can think of several classes that I should be in. Some of them probably include padded walls and shock treatment and things of that nature, but I don't want to make any long-term commitments to those classes. So we want to look and see tonight at what truly ought to be on our hearts and on our minds and the vision that we ought to have. Now, when I was looking at this website and I saw these things that was going on, it led me to some pretty interesting statistics. And I'm going to share a few of those statistics with you tonight. And I guess I was somewhat shocked. And then at the same time, I thought, you know, I can see that. One of the statistics that was given that really did kind of shock me, that was the fact that over the last 10 years, there has been an 18% rise in Christians who no longer hold that the Word of God is truth. They no longer believe that the Word of God that they can hold in their hand is without error. Now, I'm not talking about translation issues or version issues. I'm not talking about anything like that. They're saying that there are parts of the Word of God that are not true. Now, to me, that's dangerous. That is very dangerous. What if the part that you are holding to is the part that's not true that says, hey, salvation is through Christ alone? How can you say that part's true and something else is not? I think it's very dangerous ground that they're treading on when they say things like that. And one of the things that really concerned me is that out of that growing group, it's a group of 18 to 35-year-olds that's causing that growth. Now, if you think, just a minute, 18 to 35-year-olds, that's the generation that will soon be taking over our churches. Those are the men who will be preaching from the pulpits. Those are the Sunday school teachers that are out there. Those are the people who are going to lead the Wednesday night prayer meetings. And there's going to be those among them who don't believe the Bible. Now you say, no, because those who don't believe the Bible, they'll quit coming to church. Well, that was one of the things that the article was talking about, is the mass movement of people leaving the church. But I think one of the biggest things that has led to this growth in that age group is another statistic that was in there, and that's that at no other time in history have people been more apt to not have any religious affiliation whatsoever. They don't want to be named with any kind of church. And another one that has come along right along with it is the number of people who no longer even read the Bible on a regular basis. Now, if you want to see how true that is and how close it hits to home, all you have to do is go down the steps and look at our board in our own church. A church that seems to be pretty healthy. A church that's having sparks of revival in it, and you go down there and less than half of the Sunday school attendees read their Bible daily. I mean, there it is. Black and white. Now, I think if we're going to know God in a more special way, if we're going to know Him in a more personal way, you know, and that's what our whole religion is based on, is a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're going to know Him in a more personal way, we've got to get into His Word. We've got to dig in there and find the treasures that He's got in there for us and say, man, look what the Lord wants me to know. Now, as we look at that and we understand that this is the way it needs to be and the things that we need to do, we need a good example that we can follow. Now, there is no better example of whom we should follow in the Bible than Jesus Himself. So take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Matthew. We're going to look at a few verses in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, we'll start in verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to Him, He said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But He answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh Him up into the holy city, and setteth Him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto Him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give the angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And He said unto them, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh Him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth Him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and said unto Him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus saith unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the opportunity You can give us to be in Your house tonight. Lord, You know, Lord, what You've given me, and God, I pray that only what You want these people to hear tonight is what You'll allow me to say. God, I pray that You would close my mouth to any of my own thinking. I pray that You would only allow You to shine here tonight. And Lord, nothing that I say would bring any glory to me, but that all things would exalt You. Now, Lord, I ask that You would be with us. Give us a spirit of understanding now in Jesus' name. Amen. The very first thing that we ought to see as our example is what was right up front in the passage that I read. Verse 1 of chapter 4, it said, And then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, what does it mean to be led by the Spirit? Well, I had a teacher, I guess I was probably in junior high school, who wanted to teach us about the problems that disabled people have and some of the things that they run into in the world. And so what she had us do, what he had us to do was pair off, and some of you have probably done this before, and blind, one of you gets blindfolded and the other one gets to be the leader. And what it's supposed to imitate is a person who is blind being led throughout this world. Now, the way he did it is he didn't tell us how to be the leader. He only told us what to do. And so my partner puts the blindfold on, and I immediately grab him by the hand, grab him by the arm, and I'm going to lead him. I'm going to take him where I want him to go. I'm going to pull him around here. Here you go. We're going to go over here now. We're going to go over here. The first thing I noticed was complete resistance to that. Because I'm just dragging them all over the place. They're not comfortable at all. I mean, of course, my friend probably figured I was fixing to run him into a wall somewhere just any minute. And so there was a lot of resistance that was going on. But it was interesting then as our teacher said, all right, now wait, now I'm going to show you how to do it. And he said, what I want you to do is you're going to be the leader. All I want you to do is just stand there. Very relaxed. Keep your arm up like this. And then allow that person that you're going to lead to be able to take their hand and slip it right under your arm and just hold you right here. Now this gives them the opportunity to grip you as hard or as soft as they want to. It puts control now in their hand so that they know you're comfortable with it. And then he said, all you got to do then is I want you just to walk them like you'd be walking somebody down the aisle. Pretend like you're escorting them to their seat. Just walk. Now, he said, what I want you to do is walk thinking that you're wide enough for two people. That way, when you go through a door, you know, you don't run them into the wall right beside the door. He said, that's the way that you want to do it. And so we start doing that, and suddenly it's comfortable to them. You know, if they feel fear, they'll grip you a little bit tighter, and then you know to slow down or back off and keep them from being so excited. And as you move along, you eventually get to where, hey, this is pretty good. The whole point is that you two should move as one everywhere you go. That's the image that you ought to have in your mind right here. When Jesus was led up by the Spirit, He wasn't dragged into the wilderness. He willingly put Himself to be led by the Spirit into that. Hey, now, when we are really seeking after what God wants us to do, then we need to say, hey, Lord, I'm blind to this world. I don't want to see the things in this world. I want to focus my attention on You, so I'm just going to take hold. And I'm going to let You lead me. Wherever He leads, I'll go, the song says. And you're going to move as one with the Holy Spirit. Now, in doing that, then you'll be able to understand what the Spirit is doing to you. Eventually, you'll move as one, and you'll understand what Paul's talking about over in Romans. Over in Romans chapter 8, it is, where he says that for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. See, we'll understand that as we move as a single unit with the Holy Spirit, we'll be more in tune to what God wants to teach us. We see that Jesus was led by the Spirit. The next thing we see over the next 8 verses is that He was assured by the Word of God. The next 8 verses down through there, we see that Satan himself deliberately tempted our Lord Christ. But what did he do? Did he ever fall into that temptation? No. But as he was led by the Spirit and tempted by Satan, he was able to give Scripture, the Word of God, in defense of all these temptations. Now, I was talking to my guys in Sunday school this morning. I was stressing to them how important it is that we learn to read God's Word. How we learn to find verses that we can take and apply in our lives so that when we're tempted by Satan, we've got some defense mechanism to fall back on that we know is true. Now, I know that you can't just open your Bible and say, all right, I need a verse that deals with this. Well, there's a lot of verses in the Bible. And for you to just open it up and find the particular one that you need, you're going to need some help. Now, it just so happens they make helps like that. This is called a Knave's Topical Bible. Now, I'm not endorsing this particular one. There's lots of topical Bibles out there. And you got issues, you saying, hey, well, I struggle with lying. Well, you look under the L's. Oh, I'm struggling with this and struggling with that. I don't know how to be a good parent. I don't know how to be a good child. Hey, it's not too hard to find a few verses in here. All right, Brother Ricky, that's not exactly a pocket model. You know, sometimes I need help now. How do I find it? I can't just go, well, let's see what the Knave Topical Bible says and pull that out of your back pocket. If you do, I hope you got a good help. But they do make smaller models. This is a father's topical Bible. This is a teen's topical Bible. And in these, it has all kinds of verses. And to make it even easier for you, it has a table of contents. And you say, what to do when? And it says, hey, what to do when I'm angry? It's on page 86. And you turn to page 86 and you've got verse after verse after verse. You've got the fathers, they make them for mothers. They make them for everybody. Okay? All you got to do is find the right ones. Find something that will apply in your life. These, you can carry with you. They make them in hardback. They make them in paperback. You can get them any way you want it. So get you some help. Get some of these Bible helps that will help you. But learn to read God's Word. Well, what is reading God's Word? I mean, what is that? I mean, isn't that the way God communicates with us? I mean, I don't know about you, but it doesn't happen in my life. I mean, I've felt the Spirit's presence, and I've felt like God wanted me to do something, but I have never laid in my bed at night and heard the audible voice of God telling me to do something. If I did, it would scare me to death. But His Word is available to us, and all we have to do is open it up. You know, we read God's Word and we pray. Well, and some people say, well, I pray every day, but I just don't have time to read God's Word. Well, okay. How many of you, especially you little ones, how many of y'all like to play with walkie-talkies? Oh, come on. I love those things. You know what they call them? What do they call them? What? Two-way radio. How much fun do you think a one-way radio would be? I mean, I guess if you just like to hear your voice, it'd be pretty good for you. But if you want to talk to somebody, they got to be able to communicate back. You know, if you were to go out on a hunting expedition or something of that nature, and you took your friend, you said, here, take this walkie-talkie, and you go that way, and I'll go this way. And you were to get, say, I don't know, 3 miles from him, and something really bad happened that you really need his help, and you were to try and call him on the walkie-talkie, and he couldn't talk back, you wouldn't know whether he was coming to help you or not. See, the Bible gives us that two-way communication. See, we can pray and pray, and we can say, Lord, help me. Show me in Your Word what You want me to see, how You want to talk to me, how you want me to live, how you want me to be drawn closer to you. Psalms 1, 1 and 2 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, but sitteth in the seat of, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but in his delight is the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night." Reading God's Word gives us something to meditate on. I started exercising. I know, for you, I'll have a heart attack. I started exercising, actually, the week before Brother Darrell Hayes came. I just started walking. I decided I needed to get in a little bit better shape. I needed to lose some weight. And I thought, hey, a little exercise is definitely not going to hurt me. So I started walking. Well, I walked probably a mile, mile and a half for a couple of days, and then walked a little bit further, and now I'm walking about 3.5 miles a day. And it takes me about an hour to do that, and I don't know. You know, maybe that's good, maybe that's bad. But I decided when Brother Hayes was here that the best way for me to do that, because it was going to be dark when I got home every night, was to get up in the morning and walk. So the first morning I decided to do that, I got up at 6 o'clock. I don't know if any of y'all get up at 6 o'clock. It's dark. And I'm thinking, I'm not walking in the dark. Now, I wasn't scared something was going to get me. I mean, it had to be a big something to tote me off. And if they looked at my wallet, they knew there was no need in robbing me. But I said, you know, I got to wait until it gets daylight. I don't want to get run over. Even walking on the dirt road. I mean, those Jemanskis, they come flying in and out of there. Now, just kidding. But at the same time, I said, you know, I got to wait until it gets light. So I was up, and I said, hey, I'll just go ahead and make a pot of coffee, and I'll get my Bible out, and I'll just read until it gets light. And so I did that. Well, it was about, I guess, 30 minutes maybe or so before it really got light enough that I felt comfortable just going out and walking. That was 30 minutes sitting there just reading God's Word. Well, then I went and walked for an hour. And you know what I got to do? I got to pray because I was walking right by myself. Nobody around me. Man, I'm thinking about the Scriptures that I've read, how they're speaking, how they can speak to me, how I can use them in my life. I'm thinking, man, that's pretty good stuff. Taking God's Word and being able to apply it and meditating on it and using it in our daily lives, man, it's great. Now, I don't think we can all get up in the morning at 6:15 and take a walk. Because I know different things, there's different reasons that we can't do that. But at the same time, you ought to find some time in your life that you can say, I'm going to spend time with my Lord. And I'm going to see what He has to say. Rather than that 5-minute prayer before I go to bed at night and tell Him what I have to say. You know, you guys that are married can attest to this. If you were trying to woo your spouse and you were trying to get her to just to fall in love with her, I don't think picking up the phone and giving her a call and saying, look, I don't really have any time to hear what you have to say, but if you'll listen to me complain for just a little while, 5 minutes is all you have to give me. I'll be happy. Thanks. You'd be here tonight, not married. But yet when we take that 5 minutes of prayer and don't spend any time in God's Word, that's exactly what we're telling God. I really don't have time to hear what you have to say, God, but I really need some help with this. My problems are important. So Lord, help me. Reading God's Word has got to be a priority in our life. Now, we see that Jesus' example for us to follow was to be led by the Spirit. We see that Jesus' example, if we want to fight temptation, is to have Scripture in our minds, which means we've got to read and we've got to meditate. We've got to memorize. We've got to do those things that are just not there. But I want you to look with me down in verse 9. And I want you to see that because these things that Jesus had already done, Jesus was strengthened by His own walk with the Spirit. Listen to what it says. And He saith unto him, I'm sorry, verse 10. I said verse 9. Verse 10. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Matt was preaching this morning. He was talking about the preeminence of Christ. And he actually told me, he said, I'll come up there and take down my visual. And I said, oh, I'll leave it up there. That'll be fine. I told him there might be something on that shelf I needed, so I was hoping maybe I could sneak in here and grab it, but I didn't see anything I needed. Already got one of those Wii's. It gets me in enough trouble at home, so I didn't. And I sure didn't need those hedge trimmers. Jesus said, I'm going to serve Him and Him only. But we have that tendency to look in other areas and fill our lives up with so much stuff that we just forget God. There's nothing wrong with sports. There's nothing wrong with reading good books. But if it's taking the place of spending time with God, you have placed it before Him. You have taken whatever that is and made an idol out of it. And said, Lord, I'm going to pray and I'm going to lift You up. But that book on parenting is just more important. Not that You know anything about parenting, Lord. Or that book on relationships. Man, you know, I've just got to know exactly how to do this. Not that You know anything about it, Lord. You know, we'll take those great authors. And you know, I've read some good books. I love to read stuff by Robbie Zacharias. I love to read that. It's so far over my head, I have to read it 3 times before I really understand what he said. But I love to read that guy because he has some great stuff. I like to hear him preach because I like to hear his accent. One day somebody might say that about me. No, I don't think so. Jesus said that, hey, I will serve Him and Him only. I'm not going to add something on. You know, we were talking about how easy it was to make some of these things idols and how sometimes we just add Jesus on too. I was reading a missionary story about some of the great works that are going on over in India. And there are. Man, there's mass conversions going on over there. But there's a big missionary effort over there to try and help those people understand that they can't just add Jesus on. See, they have no problem accepting Jesus as their Savior. They just put Him in there with the rest of the idols. There was a Roman emperor who persecuted Christians. You know why he persecuted them? Well, the main reason he persecuted them is because he accepted Christ. He added Him on, and he was mad because the Christians wouldn't add emperor worship onto theirs. Well, why can't they worship Me? I'm worshiping their God. That was his thought process. See, we are in danger in America today of making Jesus just an add-on. There are a lot of people who are looking for something to fill a void in their life, but they don't want to give up all the things that bring them pleasure. And as they just say, well, you know, I don't want to go to hell. So I'm going to just add Jesus on and get that fire insurance, but I'm not going to necessarily stop doing all these other things I like to do. See, that's idolatry, is all it is. And our tendency has got to be Christ and Christ alone. Not serving self, not living for pleasure, not just seeking for the next fun thing, but Christ and Christ only. Now, there is no better example in the Word of God for us to live our lives by but the example of Jesus Christ. And we need to make sure that we say, Lord, it's You and You only in my life. If we will say, God, it's You and You only, that I want to serve You with all my heart, He's going to give us some of those things we like to do. He's not going to say, Matt, I saw your golf club there this morning. You serve me and me only. You'll never play golf again. He's not going to say that. Oh, well, if you go to reading that Bible every day, no, you don't get to read all those other books. You can forget them, throw them out the window. That's not what He wants. He's not trying to make us robots. He wants us to have a relationship with Him so that He can give us gifts. So that He can bestow these things on us and say, this is how much I love You. I love You so much that I want You to be able to do this. Matt, I want You to have time to spend with your family. I'm going to help you out. I'm going to teach you how to be a better father. I'm going to teach you how to be a better dad. I'm going to teach you how to be a better mom. Follow Me. Me only. Understand the Word of God. Find Bible helps that will help you and draw you closer to Him. People, it's dangerous out there. And our safety is only in the Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You can stand, please.